People who walk in darkness have seen a great light. And upon those who dwell in the land of gloom, a light has shone. Thus says the Reverend Dr. Isaiah the prophet. The land of gloom or the light. Which land do we live in? There's certainly a lot of darkness if we look around to the state of our world, our church, our country, our city. We have those gloomy times when we have our health concerns, our financial worries, our family woes. And the fog can roll in when we are feeling alone or bereft, full of grief and loss, bothered by resentment and grudges. But the moment of faith that the Bible holds out for us, that we celebrate on this day, is that the light of God is stronger than all of that. That no matter how gloomy it seems, the light can overcome it. Because there's infinite possibilities when a child is born for us, when a son is given to us. So, is it the gloom or the light that we're going to trust in? Is it a coin toss on which one wins? Is it a question of personality? The pessimists believe in the land of gloom, and the optimists believe in the light. Do we alternate days and trust in the gloom one day and then the light the next? The Bible says that the light triumphs, but in order to see it, we need instruction, is the way St. Paul puts it. We have to learn how to recognize the light. We have to be trained in light looking and glory gazing, in wonder watching. And that's what the Bible gives us today, some lessons in how to do that. For example, our story begins, the story of the birth of Jesus begins when we're told that you have to be situated in a specific place and time in order to come to see the light. Isn't that what St. Luke does today? He situates this. He says, well, it's when Caesar was here and Quirinius was there in Syria, and then there were Bethlehem and Nazareth. He gives very specific temporal and geographical locations, because that's the only way that we're going to ever come to see the light, is in a particular place and time. God does not come generically. God does not come ephemerally. God comes particularly. And so we have to resist very strongly the temptation to be somewhere else or sometime else. Or wouldn't it be great if our city wasn't having all these problems? Wouldn't it be wonderful if my finances improved dramatically? Wouldn't it be better if the church didn't have all these difficulties? But we have to resist that temptation, because God comes where and when we are. That's what Joseph and Mary found out. They found out that even in this seemingly unideal place and time, God came to them. You try riding on a mule 90 miles, 9 months pregnant, and getting there and finding there's no room for you. But that's where God, that's where the light, That's where the Son was given to them, in that place, in that time. And they recognized that light wrapped in swaddling clothes. If we're going to see the light of God, it's going to be here today. And the gospel goes on to say that if you're going to recognize the light, you have to know your story. Isn't that what that scene depicts? That Joseph had to know his story in order to end up in Bethlehem. He had to know he was of the house and family of David. Now David, remember, lived 1,000 years before Joseph. And the last king who sat on the throne lived 500 years before Joseph. But he knew his story. And because he knew that story, he could be where the light of God shone. And that's how we have to operate as well. We have to know our story. We don't like to look at our national story because it is full of a checkered past. We don't always want to know the saints and sinners who have been in our own family story at times. But we have to know that story if we're going to see the light. Just think of St. James, for example. Our story. I have a newspaper that in 1899, it says the first line in the newspaper story is, St. James is the richest and the largest parish in the Diocese of Chicago. 1899. Of course, with the Great Migration and the redlining, which so characterized our city, there was gradual diminishment that culminated in the loss of our church building. But knowing that story, we see that this community came from that story, a community which gathers together in praise and worship with full hearts, that is welcoming and open to all, and that it reaches out to our neighbors to care for those in need. So when we know your story, you can trust that God might have another trick or two up the divine sleeve, since our story shows us the plan of God is at work. And the third thing that we have to learn in order to recognize the light, in order to see the light, is how not to be afraid. Isn't that what the angel said? First thing the angel said, do not be afraid. Didn't say Merry Christmas. Or much less season greetings. Or not even a ho, ho, ho. First words, the angel said, do not be afraid. And the angel needed to deliver that message because that's how we come to see the light. The fear is what blinds us to the light. And there are so many things we can be frightened of. We can be frightened of illness or financial woes or depression or family troubles or sadness or loneliness or diminishment or plain old death. But the angel says, do not be afraid, because when you look at your story, you find that God has been with you. When you look at the present here and now, you find God is with you, and so do we. Cannot be afraid of the future, because the future is in God's hand. That's the light we're moving towards. All will be well if we trust in that future of God. And so maybe what the shepherds learned and what we have to learn is to have hope, no matter how things seem to be going, because the future is secure. This wonder counselor, this child born for us, this God hero, this Prince of Peace tells us we can trust in the future. Maybe it's It's like you're reading a detective story and you want to know how the story comes out, and so you look in the back and you find out who done it. Well, we know who done it at Christmas. We know how the story comes out. We know that the light shines, that the darkness does not win, that the gloom is driven away. And so on this day, on this Christmas, let us trust that this light that was born in Bethlehem is like a tiny glow that grows and grows until the Alleluia chorus echoes behind it and the angel chorus sings, and we are given that glimpse of glory, because it is the loftiest hope that is the surest of being fulfilled. Amen.